are now recording, and this is Out Now with Aaron and Abe. I am Aaron, and as always, this is...
Abe, hello. How are you, Aaron?
I'm doing well. I played 27 holes of disc golf yesterday.
27?
It was a 27-hole course, and am I a little exhausted? Yes. Yes, I am. How are you doing?
27 doesn't make any fucking sense at all.
Well, it's just 9 more than 18, so there's some sense there.
I think we've talked about this with, the whole entire... What was that movie with Woody Harrelson bowling?
Kingpin?
Kingpin, yeah. You're kingpinning it. So that was a game and a half.
Exactly. Yeah. I was playing the Amish version of disc golf.
Exactly. So I'm doing well. Thank you for asking.
Out Now is a film podcast, obviously. We're aiming to discuss new movies weekly. We also like to have these special bonus episodes, whether it's one of our fun commentary tracks or something completely different. This is... not that different. It's just a single review. We are going to be talking Paddington in Peru today, and Abe and I are excited to do so, but we can't just talk Paddington with the two of us. That sounds ridiculous, and I feel insulted for any listener that thought that would be the case. What we're really going to do is add in a very special guest here. We have, from Life versus Film and Deep Blue Sea, the podcast, hoping to see the bear take on a shark next time. It's Jake Lewitt.
Hello, I'm glad I'm the only guest on today's show because, of course, fluids don't share.
Yeah.
But you're all to myself. And I'm assuming, the last 9 holes is like you have the 19th hole is a pub. You go have a drink there. So I assume you did a pub crawl after your 18 holes of disc golf.
It was the world's end of disc golfing. That's what that was going on.
Got it. Okay. Yeah.
So Jay, how are you doing?
Teenagers trying to stop you. Got it.
Yeah.
I'm doing well, Aaron. Thank you very much. How are you both?
We're doing well. Doing very well over here. How is it in foggy England?
It's
foggy?
Actually pretty foggy. Always. Oh. Perpetually. Never. It's always foggy.
Man.
Aaron and I recently talked about Sharknado 5 over my podcast, which is in England for a while, and it's just gray. The whole time they're there, it's just gray and gray and gray. I was like, yeah, that's England for you. It's very, very great. Don't blame them for leaving and going to Peru, where it is far less foggy.
Yeah, the gray.
There's some rain, but
the low budgets of Sharknado film finally paid off by having to utilize their gray color palette, so it worked out.
Yep, they spent all the money on the gray and didn't have any left for English cast members to play the English characters. Instead, they had Chris Kattan and Charo.
One of SNL's favorites, Chris Kattan.
Charo. Yeah.
Right. As Chris Kattan as the Prime Minister. Charo, of course, playing the Queen.
Well, Jay, it is good to have you here in one of at least 2 appearances this year, because there is a Jurassic movie, so obviously you'll be back.
Oh, of course. It's already in the calendar, don't you worry.
When they announced Jurassic World Rebirth, no colon, as we all know, we are already, that's a Jay episode. We got that in the bag. But right now, we're here to talk about Paddington in Peru. And that's the only thing we're going to do on this bonus episode. So let's hit the trailer.
Paddington, there's a letter from Peru.
Dear Paddington, your Aunt Lucy.
She's gone, and we have no idea where she is.
She raised me when I was orphaned as a cub.
If you ever get lost, just roar.
I know I can't find her.
It's not as if we can drop everything and fly to Peru.
To inflate your life, Jackie.
I didn't mean now, Paddington.
Welcome to Peru.
Your aunt seems to have set off into the dangerous jungle.
Aunt Lucy would never give up on me. We have to find her.
But the Amazon is quite...
That should have been some of the trailer for Paddington in Peru. I'm sure Studio Canal figured they had the work cut out for them after Paddington 2 garnered so much accolade and has now risen up in the film geek bubble as one of the best sequels of modern times. Well, that did not stop a third Paddington film from being put into the works. That said, director Paul King moved on outside of a creative capacity, as he would be busy making Wonka. Dougal Wilson took over directing duties for Paddington in Peru, and nearly the entire original cast returned once again as well. In Paddington in Peru, Paddington and the Brown family make a trip down to Peru in an effort to find Paddington's Aunt Lucy, who has been declared missing by the Reverend Mother, played by Olivia Colman, who is in charge of the Home for Retired Bears. To help the Browns, they recruit a riverboat captain played by Antonio Banderas, who may actually have plans of his own involving the nice bear. Jay, I want to know quickly, are you a fan of the Paddington film franchise? Seems like a redundant question. And what did you think of Paddington in Peru?
I mean, yes, I am a fan of the Paddington film franchise. Paddington 2, I believe to be utter cinematic perfection. It is flawless in every way. Paddington 1 is a lot of fun. I really enjoyed it. It's great. If you ask me, did I like Paddington before seeing Paddington 2? I'd be like, yeah, Paddington's one of my favorite films. And then Paddington 2 comes along, and who cares about Paddington 1 anymore? 2, Phineas Buchanan. Hooray. Yeah, I love it. And so I was a little trepidatious about Paddington and Peru came out. It kind of felt like, do we need a Toy Story 3? And then Toy Story 3 came out, and it's my favorite of the franchise. I love it so much. And so I'm always like, do we need a Paddington 3? No, but it could be. It could be the best. It could be the best. Paul King's not coming back. That's concerning, but he still wrote it. Dougal Wilson, who's that? This is his legend. who's this guy? And I enjoyed Paddington Peru a great deal. It's probably the lowest rung of the three films so far. I've seen it fewer times when you've seen it twice. This is actually, thanks to me being on this podcast today, Paddington in Peru, the only film I've ever seen twice in the cinema.
Wow.
Never happened before. It came out here 3 months ago. And I said when you do Paddington Peru, I'll be on it. And he's like, great. It's out in February. I was like, oh, damn. I've committed myself now. But I was free this morning. I checked. It was still playing. So not only is it the first time I've seen a film twice in cinema, it's my first time going to a parents and kids screening without a child. I have no children.
Yeah.
So just being like a lonely guy at this room full of parents and kids, and I will not be going to another one because kids do not shut up. They cannot sit and watch a film for an hour and three quarters without going to the loo 3 times. Yeah. I was on the end of an aisle. The things I do for podcasting. Anyway,
thank you greatly for your service.
A second time enjoyed it, maybe even more the first time around. I think there's, I missed London. I liked they ticked off a lot of the cameos, a lot of the bits from the first couple of films, but I kind of wanted to like sit in them and spend more time with the familiar stuff. But then we get to Peru and we meet Olivia Colman and we meet Antonio Banderas, and they're like the highlights of the film. They're having so much fun. Their characters are so fun. Antonio Banderas is getting to the whole Kind Hearts and Coronets thing. It's great. He's having a wonderful time. And Olivia Colman is like, when you first see her, like, oh, she's the bad guy. She's clearly evil. And she rides this roller coaster of like, evil, good, evil, good, evil, good, throughout the whole film. And she's having so much fun with it. And every time she does green, it's like, yes. And she has a song. There's songs throughout the Paddington films. There's maybe not enough in this one, but the fact that we get a full, like, let's prepare for Paddington musical number with, like, Sound of Music visuals and orange juggling and bears being hit with carpet beater things. Like, great. Love it all. More of this, please. I don't think there's enough. I feel like Dougal Wilson was trying to copy Paul King a bit too much and couldn't, which is, you know, it fits. He did the two films and they work a lot. It's a good thing to try and do. But if you would ask me, like, what's a Dougal Wilson film? I don't know. I didn't see one. Sure. I saw another Paul King film, or like a Paul King wannabe. And yeah, to be fair, this is the first film he's made. He's done a bunch of adverts. Mm-hmm. I've done a bunch of like music videos and stuff, but I haven't seen them. I've seen some of the adverts. He did a bunch of the John Lewis Christmas adverts. One of them, a dog bouncing on a trampoline, is the best advert ever made, in my opinion. Go check that out. It's called, it's, hang on, I bookmarked it. It's from 2016. It's called Buster the Boxer. YouTube it. Do it now, or after the podcast. But yeah, I had a great time. Paddington Peru. Hooray.
I'm so happy we have Jay here with us. This made like... it's got way better because of these added contextual trivia bits that we kind of going for us here. I want to know, obviously, we're only here because we like Paddington, or else we wouldn't even bother with a bonus episode to begin with. So clearly,
who knows?
But where are you with Paddington and now Paddington in Peru?
Yeah, the Paddington franchise is really good. I've enjoyed Paddington, and then Paddington 2 was really blown away by just, I guess, the sincerity of it, and what Jay was talking about, which is just a lot of actors that have been in cinema lives for many, many years, many decades, just having a great time. So Paddington 3, I guess Paddington in Peru, I apologize. With it not being a Paul King movie, I think I was a little bit on the fence, not a ton. Still came in with an open heart, open mind. And it's really good. I think that Dougal is doing his best Paul King impression, which is totally fine. And now that Jay has pointed out that Dougal has also made a bunch of John Lewis adverts in the UK, it totally makes sense, because John Lewis stuff always touches the heart in many, many ways. So pretty on brand there for him, I guess. But really couldn't tell when I was looking at the seams, trying to figure out, like, okay, well, what's a Paul King? I think, Jay, you nailed it. It's like, I don't know what a Paul King movie actually looks like or feels like either, but I know what a Paddington movie, I guess, feels like. And he did a great job with it. I do also agree that all the actors are having a great time. Olivia Colman, Antonio Banderas, even some of the cameos that you see in the credits. It's really fun. But I would say that this is probably, like, by default, like, the best Jungle Cruise movie as well. And so that a huge win for
this
movie.
In this century, perhaps, I suppose.
Yeah, okay.
Sure, yes, yeah. Better than The Rock's Jungle Cruise movie. And it's much more fun and delightful in that manner. It still has that heart to it. But, yeah, I think that there's some stuff that maybe Paul King could have done differently, but Paul King still does get a story by credit in this movie. So I enjoyed my time. I think that people will enjoy their time too. I did not go into an audience with a bunch of children and their parents, so I was not bothered by the children. So I had a good time. But if you do go with your children, for the sake of Jay, ask them to sit down and behave.
Please, yes, please do.
Put that plea out to the audience.
I'm never going to another parents and kids screening ever again. So for my benefit, you don't need to do it. Just for the benefit of humanity.
Do you have, like, little cousins or something that you would have to go to?
I mean, I have a nephew I could have taken, but I didn't.
He's not awake.
He's 7, yeah. I think. I'm not a good uncle.
Oh, you're probably the best uncle.
I'm not a very present uncle.
You just gotta practice.
I'm good.
Grab stray neighbor children, you know.
Don't do that. Is that a thing?
I shouldn't say the words "grab stray neighbor children" in one sentence.
I think it's just grab children. Just those two. Yeah. That's all you need to know.
Ethan Hawke did it. He turned that into like $100 million. He called the grabber. They didn't even dance around it. They just called him exactly that.
Oh, I thought it was Before Midnight.
What are we talking about?
What are your thoughts on Paddington?
I'm a huge fan of the Paddington films. Much like both of you, I saw the first one and was like, this is delightful. And then the second one came out, it's like, that movie, fuck that. This is great. This is amazing. I can't believe the increase in quality that Paddington 2 has over a film that was already very good. So obviously going into Paddington Peru, I'm like, okay, Paul King left so he can do Wonka. Good for him. Yes, I know Jay's a bigger fan of Wonka than we are.
I love Wonka. Wonka's great. Wonka's the best.
Leave him away from me. But Peru, like, yeah, all right.
Wonka grabbed some kids.
They grabbed his candy. I was excited for Paddington Peru as far as, if we're not going to have Paul King back, at least we're, like, changing things up a bit. Like, instead of being just another London story, we're going to Peru. Like, that's at least a choice that could reflect something that doesn't try to, like, emulate what we've already seen. Because the last thing you want to do after Paddington 2 is, like, do that again, essentially. Like, do that, like, try to do that again, because I think that would just lead to disaster.
In prison?
Sorry?
He's back in prison?
He's back in prison, yeah. He gets framed again. So, you know, the notion of making it into, like, this globe-trotting adventure movie to an extent, like, yeah, okay, I'm into that. And I was rewarded with what you guys have already pointed out. I think there's just really fun performances here. I like the story team just gets how Paddington should function in these movies. I think that's the most key thing about this, where it's not a lot to understand the Paddington character, but the way he interacts with the world and how you utilize him. it just seems like they have just pinned down exactly like what matters to this. Why do people like this bear and like these stories? And that seems to reflect here as well, even though it's like changing up the location and changing up aspects of like what we're doing with Paddington. And that's a great benefit to the film. It's frequently funny. I like the adventure stuff. Abe, I would agree with you. It is a very good Jungle Cruise movie. Once again, you add some, you know, veteran actors on here of Coleman and Banderas, and it doesn't take a lot for me to like things that Banderas and Coleman are doing in movies. So putting them in a Paddington film, it's like, well, obviously this is amazing, and they're having a blast. I like that we still have the Brown family very involved and have their own kind of arcs individually as well. I'm happy that the kids have stayed on all three movies. That's also fun. Obviously, we traded.
Stop calling them kids now because they're 23.
I'm sorry. Okay, the elderly in training are very good in this film. I obviously we lost Sally Hawkins when we gained Emily Mortimer, which is she's a very good actress as well. That's not the it's a change up, but still she's very good in the film. I think she gets a nice emotional beats to play as far as wanting her family to stay together and all this. And Hugh Bonneville is just always fun in these movies. I think he's having such a blast playing this character. Like, as much as it's fun to see Paddington get into Paddington things and watch the villains do villain things, Hugh Bonneville really kills me with some of the way he sells his lines, which is always, I think, a great benefit to these movies that make it about more than just what Paddington's doing, even though obviously Paddington's very central to everything. Is it the weakest of the three of them? Perhaps, but it's not a huge downgrade. It's a delightful film that has all the right beats that I want out of a Paddington movie. So good times.
Question for you both. Oh, yeah, go ahead.
Did you miss Hugh Bonneville in drag this time around?
No, only
be because, honest.
No, but not because of that aspect specifically, but because I like what other shenanigans he was going to get into. And that bit with the giant tarantula, as a tarantula owner myself, I have not experienced the same thing that happened to him, but that was hysterical to me. That just the escalation of things going on in that sequence, I thought was very funny.
You didn't like his strut with the sunglasses?
I love his strut with the sunglasses. his hard walk.
Yeah, exactly. Oh,
yeah. I mean, because we have Simon Farnaby's back as he's a air steward this time around.
Yeah.
Instead of being the security guard. And I did kind of miss, like, well, there should have been some kind of shenanigans for, like, Hugh Bonneville has to be on this flight dressed as an elderly woman. Just for some reason. I don't know what the hijinks. And flight steward Simon Farnaby now needs to be madly in love with him on this flight instead. I missed that. I don't know.
Would have dug it.
Could have been deleted. You know,
that's true.
Could have been
pacing wise, because like I was surprised that there wasn't more airplane antics, given that they had to fly all the way to Peru.
It was like a montage. Yeah,
we just kind of got through it. It's like there could be more here. Maybe we deleted some stuff.
Yeah.
And speaking of random cameos, I like that they announced that they have an American boss now at the risk.
Yeah,
the risk adjustment, and it's Haley Atwell doing an American accent.
Yeah,
yes. Like, that's really funny
for one scene.
Yeah. I found that very odd.
Yeah. American accent, pretty good, but yeah, I found it odd.
I couldn't believe that it was her versus that. I was like, so what actress did they cast? Is like, no, that's just her. That's just Haley Atwell doing an accent.
At first, I thought that they were going to have, because they were saying, well, we have a new boss and they're American. And I was like, well, Haley Atwell is probably just, you know, there as
a representative
attaché, and then the real boss is going to come through the window. It's like, no, that's just the guy delivering her coffee. He's the boss.
Yeah, I have no explanation other than Haley Atwell just went, can I be in the next Paddington film? And they're like, yes, what role could we give to you? the American boss. Okay.
I mean,
it's not a lot of smaller, it's not a lot of roles.
And she's got like an hour to film and she did it.
That honestly could be the reason she's just around and who doesn't love Paddington. It's like, I'd love to be in a Paddington movie.
Right.
Yeah. Same.
It's not like a stage role.
I'll do any accent as long as it's not, you know, a hate crime.
She would. She was on break from filming a cameo in a Marvel movie in a London studio, and she's like, oh, yeah, Paddington.
It's probably true. Yeah. Either that or like they were filming Mission Impossible 8.
Also possible, yes.
Yeah. Question for you guys, just in terms of, I guess, their adventures abroad, I'm curious what you guys thought about. Are you guys familiar with Paddington? I am not, but the Peruvian side of things, is that like pretty on brand? Where does that come in with his, I guess, his backstory and history?
Well, that's where he's from.
It's where he's from.
It's true.
Okay. Yes, but I feel like I should be more familiar with Paddington than I am.
Yeah.
The only Paddington I've seen is the three films. It's like he's a long running character in the UK. Yeah. I think there are books. Growing up, my mom had like a Paddington doll, like a 2 foot tall doll in the bedroom that just stood there with a hat and a coat. Mm-hmm. And I was like, it was just there. It was just part of the furniture. And we'd never had a discussion about it. It was just kind of there. So I feel like I should have had more interest in Paddington growing up, but I just don't. And I never did. And I never did it. But yeah, he is from Peru. That's why they went to Peru.
Yep.
Peru. Yeah, I mean, that's it.
Historically accurate. Got it.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I had a couple Paddington books. I can't say I remember them all that well, but I know I know what the covers were, so I know I had them in possession.
Yeah.
But that's the whole deal. He's from Darkest Peru. That's the whole, like...
Darkest Peru?
Yeah, just like Darkest Africa. There's always, like, that's, like, the deepest of the jungles. They always call it Darkest, which is a fun term to use. That's why it's hard, easy to remember for me. But, I mean, Peru's in the first two movies. Like, the whole prologue in the first
True,
movie,
yes, yeah.
Peru, and then the second one also got a little bit...
Yeah,
but yeah, he's a Peruvian bear, an Andes bear, I believe is the Andean bear. Yeah,
getting quite specific. That's great. I didn't know that he made the Pelomints. It's nice.
That is a real kind of bear. Like that's the because he's like a just like Baloo. What's Baloo in Jungle Book?
He's a south.
Well, it's an Indian kind of bear.
Asian bear.
It's a sloth bear. That's what it is. Sloth bear. Like there's they're very specific on these things.
Yeah,
he's not the king of the swingers. I was trying to think if there's like a description of him. And I couldn't think of one. It's like that's Louis, the other one.
In terms of, I guess, just the overall aesthetic of this movie, I did like that they kind of dug their heels back into a very magical Paddington 2. Like they had the book where life. So this one kind of dives back in by having these paintings kind of circulate and come to life. And they have a really fun plane sequence, too. It's almost like flying by map. But I enjoyed the whimsicalness of a lot of the creative aspects of this movie. And so that's where I was like, I can't really tell a difference with some of the Paul King stuff. Not that I was looking very hard for it, but just more of like, I'm glad that they kind of know this Paddington aesthetic and just kept with it.
Yeah, I think at the end of the day, like as much as Paul King guided the movies as a director in the first two, it's still the whole creative brain trust that's working on all these. It's not like Paul King left and like it's all different, right? Yeah. And I know you're not saying that, but like it's, you know, all the same people are still working on this film. It's just, you know, a different person at the helm for this one around. Mm-hmm. But so I think the same sensibilities are clearly in mind as far as how to communicate, not just the real world stuff and the patent, but like, yeah, his kind of mindset and like how the film wants to visualize that for you by giving you like, you know, neat animated segments that kind of have other ways of expressing elements of the story, or yes, in this case, getting inside the mind of Banderas's riverboat character and his history.
Yeah, Jay, that was fun.
Jay, you mentioned that like as a kind hearts and coordinates that thing, which I recently watched over Christmas break, and it's a hilarious movie. I love that film with Alec Guinness.
That just must have been the most fun for him to do. Like, yeah, this one you're gonna dress up as a Christian missionary and sink in quicksand. Have fun. It's just having a great like a week's worth of dressing up in a costume and die in a different way. It just would have been a lot. They were my favorite bits, just watching Banderas having a great time.
He's a guy that commits, and so I'm so happy to see like you know, I'm a huge fan of him in the SpongeBob movie. He's hilarious in that film, and that's just one character. Here he's like, I'm going all in. Let me play everything that I can.
And when we first see him, he's basically being boat captain Zorro he knows what he's doing.
He was whipping it.
He was whipping it real good.
What's amazing is Banderas can like look like he can make himself foolish, but he's still Banderas. He still has got like a suave thing about him that I think is really, I don't think that's easy to pull off, to like be like a buffoonish villain, but also like still be cool. Like, that can't be simple.
It's the voice, it's the accent.
It helps. Yeah.
It's the whole Banderas of it all.
Yeah.
The whole Banderas package. He's great in it. I also did quite enjoy that he gets to play multiple characters. So I like when a lot of actors kind of get to play silly, or when they get to play twins. It's always really fun.
Olivia Colman, as far as the other, you know, main veteran actress goes, the song that you mentioned, Jay, like, I love a good song in these Pattinson films. The fact that it does the whole, like, extended, like, climax of the song, that killed me. That she just, like, gets in this long beat and keeps it going the whole time. Oh, it's just fun stuff.
I really enjoyed her commitment to not knowing how to play guitar, but still playing it anyway. You know, she wasn't afraid of people being like, that's not, her hands aren't actually strumming or her keys are off. She didn't give a fuck about any of that stuff. And I really liked the Santa Music bit at the end of her song. And yeah, then catching the guitar. It's like
the catch. That just
this is why we give her awards.
Yeah. I mean, she's not up for any this year for the, is Paddington Burrell eligible for next year's Oscars?
Would it be for next year if it's released right now in America?
That's a fun question, actually. I haven't thought about how that would
work. Yeah, although
it was the Hugh Grant wasn't up for Paddington 2. He should have been.
None of these are nominated for anything. But
he was up for a BAFTA for it.
I'm sure he was up for a BAFTA. Yeah. I'm sure they.
But Paddington Peru up for zero BAFTAs.
Mm. Oh, really?
Yeah, nothing.
Rude.
Yeah.
Yeah. Don't they know that this is like a who's who of British actors?
Well, the BAFTAs are trash, so don't worry about it.
There you go.
They're not like Golden Globes level trash, but they're trash.
Fair. Thanks, Jay.
Aaron, I didn't know that these were the same children that have been in the entire movie. I did not look at that, and I was like, well, I'm glad that they all decided to come along for the romp.
It's literally like the only thing they do.
That's all they're trees. IMDb. Yeah. Just like this movie, they're this franchise.
Yeah, because they're school. Whatever.
This makes sense.
They're not in school anymore, Aaron. They're in their 20s.
Yeah,
they've left school behind.
Yeah,
okay. University. What do I? What?
That's behind them too.
Maybe they want to be doctors. Maybe they're still going.
Their GCSEs didn't allow them to be doctors. Aaron, get it right.
GCSE.
Yeah, GCSE.
That's what it was when I was in school. I don't know what it is now. Who knows?
I'm curious what you guys think about this franchise, where it goes. I mean, this obviously ends in a way that is pretty, it's a nice bow if it doesn't decide to do anything else. 3 is a nice number in movies as well, but also we've seen a lot of continuation.
As far as Bring On Part 4, I mean,
Bring It On. Yeah.
There's such a good control over how to utilize Paddington. It's not a matter of each one needs to be the best thing ever. It's just more in the midst of all the franchises we have, this one is one that's centered on how does this bear bring decency to people around him and make that both charming and hilarious. If we want to keep doing that for, decades, I'm not against this.
Sure.
I'm not against the very, loving franchise that wants to make you feel good by the end of it and not be concerned with Paddington, saving the world or collecting Infinity Stones. Like, I just want to see Paddington.
That'd be interesting of an arc too. But
bring niceness to people.
My only concern with continuing the franchise is, doesn't Paddington need to get older as a bear?
Does he?
Because he's I don't. This is the question. Because bears generally live for about 25 to 30 years the real world. Paddington's not in the real world.
Yeah.
Because Aunt Lucy is an old lady.
Way too old.
He's in the home for retired bears.
Yeah, exactly. True.
So I don't know how long they've had. Like, she and Uncle Pastuzzo had Paddington before he came to London. Mm-hmm. I don't know. But the kids have grown up. The bear hasn't. And I feel like if they keep doing these films for the 20 years, if they're still great, great.
Sure.
But is it still going to be great if Paddington grows up and becomes a full-size bear just roaming around London, still trying to fit this little tiny coat on him?
You're not convincing me that this won't work, for one thing.
But it seems like the folks of London don't mind that he's around, right? Like, they're just like, there's a bear taking its photo trying to get a passport. It's like, I guess.
Well, he helps everyone he meets.
And he always apologizes for anything he disrupts.
So. Yeah. Even if these went kind of a Wallace and Gromit style where they just went straight to a streaming service, totally cool with it too.
I think they're developing a TV series, if I'm not mistaken.
Are they?
There already is an animated TV series. It came out in 2019, I believe. I haven't seen it.
So this guy is around for the long haul.
I think Ben Whishaw still did the voice for it, but no one else carried across that. Like Mr. Curry, the Peter Capaldi character, voiced by Reese Shearsmith. But everyone else is like people I don't know.
Got it.
So, yeah.
Okay.
I mean, they're recognizable people, I guess.
Yeah.
There's a guy from the Pirates Caribbean films plays the Jim Broadbent character. That kind of thing.
Oh, that's nice. Okay.
Yeah.
And animated, too. So now you don't have to worry about aging.
Yes, true.
Maybe some gravelly voices.
I still have to worry about myself aging.
This is true.
The bear aging.
True. Well, Jay, you look great. So.
Thank you. That's what I was aiming for. Thank you.
You know, B plus.
Aaron, how did this do with the cinema score? Do you know?
That's a fun question. Let's see. Cinema score. A. Duh.
Okay. So basically, Universal, like, of this.
A, 94% of Rotten Tomatoes.
Yeah.
You know, it's no one's against Paddington.
Yeah. It's fantastic. Yeah. I'm glad.
I thought Emmy Milton did a good job replacing Sally Hawkins, but my wife did not. She did not think.
She was not a fan.
She's not here to defend herself, but she's like, she's just not right, was her feedback. When we watched Chicken Run, Dawn of the Nugget, we started watching it, and she's like, that's not Mel Gibson. Why didn't they bring Mel Gibson back for the chicken? And I had to explain why they didn't bring Mel Gibson back. She was not aware of any of it.
Did she accept this answer from you?
She understood what, yeah.
Okay.
I explained, you know, the.
It would have been a fascinating discussion after if she's just like, I still would argue that Mel Gibson should have been in this movie.
I mean, Mel Gibson, Zachary Levi.
Yeah. Well, yeah, he was busy making a play movie with Mark Wahlberg.
I mean, nowadays they're kind of online with each other, but. No, I mean, Sally Hawkins is a very specific actress, so it's like, yes. I get that. It's not just like we find the other version of her, because she's pretty one of a kind. But I do like Emily Mortimer. She's a good actress. And I like that it doesn't try to just, like, kind of push her in the background because it's not, you know, the same person. They give her plenty to do as far as, like, reflecting on what her family's going through and... you know, what that means to her and everything. Like, I like that she's still just as involved as anybody else.
Yeah. Jay, I have a question for you.
Yeah, please go ahead.
From a British standpoint, in the British actors echelon, is Emily Mortimer higher than Sally Hawkins, or is it reversed?
This is an unnecessary ranking.
I'm curious. We have a local here.
Let me check the spreadsheet.
See, I knew he had a spreadsheet. Aaron, he's prepared.
I feel, Emily Mortimer is one of those actors who I often forget exists.
Yeah.
I feel like that's rude. I didn't mean that to be rude.
I'll let her PR reps know that you didn't mean it.
Thank you. I feel like there's a lot of other actresses I could kind of put in the Emily Mortimer area.
Yeah.
And as Aaron said, Sally Hawkins is a very kind of unique actress. I would say Emily Mortimer is less so.
Got it.
I agree with that.
This isn't answering your question. But
I think it does.
My response.
Yeah. Well, thank you for that. I'm glad that I got a London perspective.
Yeah.
Well, I'm not in London, but thank you. She's like a few Oscar nominations at this point.
Is it a few?
She should have won for The Shape of Water as well.
She has two at least. She has one for Shape of Water. She has one for, I believe,
Happy Go Lucky.
Not Happy. She didn't get it for. She got everything but Oscar nominations for Happy Go Lucky, which she should have gotten, let alone win. It's the Woody Allen one because she was supporting in that one too.
Blue Jasmine.
Blue Jasmine. Yeah, he was not here. Blue Jasmine. Okay.
There you go.
That said,
sure.
Emily Mortimer, I think she's had more. I'd argue she's had more U.S. success than Sally Hawkins has. Like, she's been in more things in that regard. Yeah. But this is, again, this is a nominal. It does not matter.
Do you feel like there was a through line trying to be pushed? Like, the arc of Paddington in this film is I feel like they're trying to push that he's not sure where he should be, but I don't feel like it's a very good arc, a very like through arc for him as a character. Because you have when he goes to the Jim Broadbent shop and he's like the Peruvian artifacts are speaking to him, and he's just got his UK passport, and Jim Broadbent's like, ah, yes, but like when you get a new passport to a new citizenship to a new area, it can kind of make you feel funny. And I was like, is this like an immigrant? Kind of, is this a companion piece to The Brutalist? Like, but with Paddington? And it's not.
It's been an immigrant story, though. That the whole, his whole deal, like throughout the three.
Right, but I feel like that's less dealt with in this one, and it's the one where they're trying to bring it up more. Because like, he goes to Peru, and everyone else, kind of spoilers for the end of this film. I'm not going to go fully into it, but at the end of the film, the rest of the family is like, Paddington's going to want to stay in Peru now. It's fine. He's going to want to stay here. And Paddington's like, can I come home with you? Mm-hmm. And like, he's the only one who's not considering like he should be, where should he be? He's like, he knows where he should be. It's England.
With the Browns?
What I like about that is it's a subversion, but not a comedic one. It's one where it plays into tropes of what this kind of story could be, where it's like, look, he found his home. He could go with his people. There's bears and
his tribe,
and be one with them finally. And a thing that you've seen in plenty of things before. That's a very cliche kind of story, not necessarily, but not inherently bad. But you've seen that before. And instead, he's like, "No, I am with my family." And instead of playing that in like a spoof on that kind of thing or something, it plays it sincerely, which I enjoyed. If you're saying, does it feel underdeveloped? I don't know. I think it. Just by nature of him going to Peru, like it's just the plot mechanics in itself implies there could be a possible end point for this story, I suppose.
Yeah, I don't know if I am using it as a critique on the film. It's just, I just found it like watching it again for a second time. It's like they're really trying to hit on this a little bit in various scenes, and Paddington is like resisting, just ignoring his arc. He's here to save Aunt Lucy. That's his arc, and he does it.
That's his deal. as far as kind of things that happen in this movie go, from an adventure standpoint, I do like the. I mean, you can't really make one of these and not reference Indiana Jones in some way. I enjoy the very lengthy boulder chase that happens in this film quite a bit. That takes on. A lot.
You turn corners.
It keeps going.
This boulder is hunting. It's hunting Paddington.
Sure, yeah. Heat seeking. Yeah.
Yes, that was fun. I liked Paddington on the llama. He's not on it for very long, but when he's on it, it's fun.
Yeah. The adventure aspects of this movie are really well done, really pretty well thought out. You know, gimmicky, sure, but it's also again a really fun adventure in that sense because. There are multiple angles in which Paddington is trying to get got, and from whom you're, you know, at various times it changes. But I did enjoy that it leads up to something rather than let's just get lost in the forest for, you know, the whole entire duration of the movie. It's like, no, there's this echoey wall that he's got to go find, and then it kind of... crescendos into quite a dramatic climax, actually. All throughout, it's pretty funny too, because I do enjoy that the plane is called The Miracle, and that they have to say the line, it'll take a miracle to save us.
There are a lot of good like bits in far as like how to make that work, which works well for like an adventure story like this, where it has a certain kind of arc to play, you know, he has to find the clues.
We've also
seen
like movies where they do these things and it's not the execution is poor, you know what I mean?
It can be poor, just, you know, it's follows a certain route, and I'd argue this one, like, I'm trying to determine like what is it that makes this weaker than the other two, and I think the difference is, you know, as much as fun as it is to see Paddington in an adventure movie, I've seen adventure movies before where Paddington 2 and one, but two specifically shine is it's making something out of like nothing, essentially. It's like what could make this like so worthwhile, and it's like he just happens to interact with like the right people and it like turns into something special. Like, and this one, you have to follow a certain thing because it's like he's on a mission to go to Peru. The other one, it's like yeah, he did this and it led to this and it led to that. It's just that it's not like giving you these guiding posts of like where you know this is going to go. It's just like, no, it's just Paddington being Paddington. It happens to be lovely.
I feel like the part of the magic of two is how much they managed to pack into that film, which I think is actually shorter than this one. But the amount of characters in Paddington 2 is just insane. You have all of the prisoners, you have all of the neighbors, which they have some of them in this one. They bring back some of them. The Paddington franchise Wikipedia page has like which actors are constant throughout all of the franchise, and they've only got some of the actors. They're missing Robbie Gee, they're missing Ben Miller. They're in at least two of these films.
We've got to write to their editors immediately.
If I knew you can edit Wikipedia, I never have. I almost want to.
On the son's name, it says Jonathan J. Dog Brown, which is very funny.
That's his name. But yeah, they've got Jessica Hines, they've got Sanjay Bhaskar, but they haven't got Robbie Gee and Ben Miller. They should be in it.
It's true.
They've added Joel Fry for some reason in this one. Sure, the postman. It's great.
Was Joel Fry not in the second one?
I don't know if he was.
If he was,
he's not on the Wikipedia page.
I see he's not on the Wikipedia. I thought he was in the second one because, like, just seeing Joel Fry in a Paddington, like, that makes sense.
Makes sense. Yeah.
you belong here. This works. Yeah, I'm now checking as to whether he's in the second one or not. Come on. He is in the second one. Yes, he's the postman in the second one. My apologies.
I thought so. Right.
Yeah, his Darzo Lorak himself was in Paddington 2. Good. Well, yes, there's just more, like, there's more opportunities for comedy and more like, you know, Noah Taylor can, like, poke his head in and say something funny and then duck out again. Whereas, well, they're in Peru, so they're literally they're lost in the jungle. There's just less.
It's limited by that nature. It has to, which, you know, you make up for by having Banderas and Olivia Colman. So, like, there's plenty to go off of it. And you still have Julie Walters having a bunch of fun in the retirement.
Yes.
And, like, investigating the secret rooms and doing acrobatic moves with stunt doubles, which is, I found very funny.
Surprisingly agile, Mrs. Bird.
Yes. Can't stop her. What else?
Yeah, like, had like all of those, had those nuns all been like characters and funny actors or whatever, like, then like had little bits cropping up, that would have added to the film. But I mean, it's long enough. It is
If the drama was less like Lucy's missing and more just like Aunt Lucy's really depressed, you should come here and cheer her up. And then Paddington like interacts with the entire This sounds like a great movie. He's in the entire like retirement home for bears, and all the bears and nuns have different little subplots, and Paddington solves them somehow. There's just no river at all. There's no El Dorado whatsoever. We're just like stuck in the retirement air for bears. Anyway,
we still have Antonio Banderas, but he's just like annoyed that they can't go and find El Dorado. Why can't we leave the retirement home for bears? All of my dead family members are like getting annoyed with me.
That'd be a hilarious bait and switch if like that's the, like, we know that that's his goal, and then we just never leave the retirement home for bears. He's just constantly around.
He still has his full arc of like learning.
Yeah,
gold. This is your treasure, but you just don't leave this facility.
Anything else? The visual effects, I feel like we don't really talk about them, and I think that's because we just accept Paddington as like looking as good as he does.
Looks great.
What I wrote down. Yeah, I don't even think of it as a special effect. It's just Paddington.
He's just there.
Yeah.
But like, this is a movie that has an elaborate like riverboat sequence where it crashes on rocks and stuff. It looks pretty good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They're in water.
Yeah, which is not easy to do.
Yeah. And apparently they had a Peruvian film crew, too. So, you know, the film may be in Peru. I don't know which parts, but you know, they were on location.
I've seen a lot of films where action in water is done poorly. And this isn't one of those. It's done well.
Yeah. Agreed. Yeah. River Wild is probably its next closest competitor.
I could have done with more piranhas. There's only two piranhas, possibly one.
I do agree, yeah, because there were two jokes about piranhas. Like, I could have used more.
Yeah, there's a rule of three. There's a rule. You bring it back.
Get it right, Paddington 3.
You have some like Paddington learns this is where the piranhas are, so he like tricks Antonio Banderas to falling in the water and piranhas. Maybe I wanted more animals. Like, we don't have a lot of supporting cast, so we'd have more. Like, because you got piranhas, bears, obviously, a tarantula, and then an anteater. And that's kind of it.
And you have bears.
Like, Mrs. Brown's like, you're right.
There's something massive in the jungle. Like, there's a freaking anteater behind you. They're huge.
Well, there was that weird animal that Pantin steps on, and then it slithers.
Oh, that's
away.
A plant, I think. Oh, no. Oh, yeah, that thing. Yeah. Sorry. That's just like that's not the spiky red one.
Yeah.
But you got what is it? The thing he rides, the llama.
Oh, the llama. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, dude, it's a llama. Yeah. True. I forgot that llamas are animals.
They are. They deserve your respect.
They're people to me.
Get it right.
I had alpaca ring bearers at my wedding.
Did you really? Fact,
I really did.
You're the second person in my life that I've known that has done something like that. So
we also had peacocks.
The other person was there. Exactly.
They just came with fucking Doolittle wedding are you having over here? Jesus.
It's amazing. What are you talking about?
I had one dog at the time. He was there too. So yeah, there was at least three animals. Types.
That's way more interesting.
Like three children.
How many turtle doves?
No. Visual comedy on a podcast. My favorite joke in the whole film comes in the halfway through the credits full spoiler for people who haven't watched the film, when they go into the prison and Paddington's introducing all the other bears to Phoenix Buchanan, and they're all named after London tube stations. One of them is called High Barnet. He has a tall haircut. It's my favorite joke in the whole film. This is High Barnet, massive quiff, Johnny Bravo style haircut on a bear. Great, perfect. What I needed.
I did not know the connection. Now I enjoy it even more.
That's really funny. And a very specific joke. All right. Well, it seems like we all very much like Paddington in Peru, even if it's lesser than the other Paddingtons, but it's like, who cares? Like, there's more of this. This is great.
It's not as good as that perfect film.
Yeah, exactly. Paddington in Peru in America is currently playing in theaters. When should people go and see this movie? Jay?
If you're in America, go and see it now. If you're in the UK and you have a child, go to the parent and child screenings that are still going. If you don't have a child, don't go there. Don't do that. It's probably streaming now, so watch it as soon as you can. It's fantastic. I loved it so much. But yeah, the biggest screen you can find, as soon as you can. Go.
Abe?
Yeah, definitely would agree. Go see it in theaters. Go see it with a packed audience. I know that I said go see it. Try not to go see it with unruly children, but even if they're there, I'm sure they'll have a good time.
I saw it at a theater with children. They were well-behaved. But that's just, I guess, my luck of the draw. That said, Paddington in Peru is wonderful, and I certainly recommend anyone going to see it. See it in theaters, have a great time, be decent to other people as a result of it as well. That seems like another...
Go to Peru, too.
go to Peru. Visit the Andes. But yeah, all right, great. We've talked about Paddington in Peru, and that's going to bring us to the end of this bonus episode of Out Now with Aaron and Abe. You can find everything I do at my Substack page, thecozyeat.substack.com. Everything I do ends up over there. And I'm on all the socials at Aaron's PS4. Abe?
For more friends over my Instagram, abe.mua and x.com, blue sky, walrus moose, # embrace the risk.
Jay Clue, where can people find more of you online?
Deep Blue Sea, the podcast, where we talk about Deep Blue Sea every week and have done for almost 5 years now. But we talk about other films as well. This week, I'm assuming this is coming out this week. So you can head over to Deep Blue Podcast on Wednesday and listen to me talking to Aaron again about Sharknado Global Swarming, which is the fifth Sharknado film.
Swarming.
Yeah, I haven't seen any of the Sharknado films. It felt like I should watch them. So I am doing that, and I have done that, and they're films. So Sharknado 5 is out. We also covered like new shark films, Into the Deep, which is one with Richard Dreyfuss in it.
Oh.
But not with sharks. Very much on land. That was last week, and Deep Blue Sea scenes every 3 weeks. So we're having fun over there. So at Deep Blue Sea Pod and all the socials, Deep Blue Sea Pod. Deep Blue Sea of the podcast. On my personal site is lifeversusfilm.com, where, for a change, I actually have a review or two up.
Hey,
posted, I noticed. Which is rare. I watched the Sugarland Express. It's great.
Yes, it is.
I'm trying to go through all my Spielberg blind spots, and that's one. Next up, 1941.
That is great, but it's worth watching. Yeah. It's worth
watching.
That's
my Sunday evening.
It has a great John Williams score. Like, it legit, like, the John Williams score is so good in one of his worst movies. But it,
looking forward to it.
Yeah. Jay, I forgot to ask you one last question. At a certain age in London or in the UK, do you get gifted an umbrella, a brolly?
I mean, I have been gifted an umbrella. I don't think it's a specific age.
Okay.
It's like a rite of passage kind of thing. It's like when the time is correct, you get the umbrella. I actually inherited my dad's umbrella. He's still alive. But I have his work umbrella.
Wow.
He used to work for HSBC. They used to be called Midland Bank, in the UK, at least, I think. And so I have a Midland Bank umbrella. Genuinely, people are jealous of this umbrella.
Wow.
It is so sturdy. It is huge. It's a proper golf umbrella. I do not play golf, regular or disc. But it's massive. It's so robust. Every other umbrella I've seen or used gets blown out in the harsh British winds almost immediately. This one could probably withstand the last time I was on the Twisters. I reckon this umbrella would be up there spinning around.
Oh, man.
Take it to Peru. It's too big for hand luggage. It's massive.
Yeah.
But yeah. That's...
So again, a Paddington true to life thing. Bang. There you
absolutely,
go.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah.
What an excellent question and a great way to wrap up this podcast. Jay, thank you very much for joining
us. Thank you, Jay.
Thank you.
By the way, this podcast is everywhere you can find podcasts. You can find
us correct.
We're on the socials and everything. You can find us easily. But yeah, glad to talk about Paddington Brew. I look forward to whatever Paddington related events we have coming up in the future. Of course, we also look forward to talking to Jay again when Jurassic comes around, because we know one thing that interests Jay beyond sharks and Paddington the Bear. It's dinosaurs.
I mean, that's Paddington 4, surely. Paddington in the past.
Paddington in time.
Yeah, Paddington in time.
Paddington
it's
in
about,
time.
It's about time.
Yeah. If it's about time, I'm going to cry.
Well, yeah, that's going to do it for this bonus episode about Now, Third Ape. Thanks to listeners for listening. Thank you, Jay, once again. And
thank
until
you, Jay.
Until next time, so long.
And goodbye.
I don't like marmalade. Why is it on the wall?
The gods will. Yeah, the gods will play.
I was spinning my finger as if I'm like rolling it. I'm pointing to the projectionist.
It got cut off, so I didn't really see.
There's a projectionist over here. Roll the trailer. Roll the thing.
Don't remember the trailer.
It's a lot of it. Well, no, it's the photo booth. That's the whole thing.
Oh, yeah.
Photo booth. Yeah. He's got to get his passport.
True. Yeah. Good teaser.
I'm just like, somebody tell this bear how to do this.
Anything. Don't do anything. Yes, stop letting him do things on his own. He doesn't know what he's doing.
Why is he doing
it? He needs a lot of help.
What's the son doing? Chilling?
Yeah, the G is silent.
The mother wants to spend more time together. Go and help out the bear.
This is true. I mean, what does she do all day? Like, paint?
Well, she's still getting over Sally Hawkins' disease.
Oh. Was Sally Hawkins just, like, busy with something?
Yeah, she was making Wonka.
She was busy.
She left with Paul to go make Wonka.
Got it, okay.
It's like, what? There's a really...
She's not in Wonka a lot.
She's
like a scene.
Yeah, that's true. I think she shows up with, like, one flashback and then,
He had her on standby to be like, in case we need you to wave ominously in the crowd to make sure Wonka's doing the right thing. You're just going to be there all the time.
Worked out for her.
And maybe it was date night with the fish monster, like, multiple evenings. I don't know.
Maybe. I just watched.
She's still with that guy?
Yeah, they live under the sea together. Yeah.
He gave her gills. She kind of has to stay there now.
Yeah, the same with Splash. You're just under there.
The same with Splash. Tom Hanks is...
Once you get breathing underwater abilities, you just stay down there.
I guess this makes sense.
I forgot that's how Splash ended.
It's a weird ending to Splash. Splash is a movie we should definitely do a commentary for at some point because of how weird it is. It is a strange, strange movie.
I like it.
It's on our list. Maybe we'll do it one day on Deep Blue Sea.
Oh, why? Yeah, why has that not been a Deep Blue Sea episode? that seems obvious.
It's on the list. Well, then
we could delay the commentary. Just bring both of us on the Splash episode of Deep Blue Sea the podcast.
I'll make a note.
That's what I do now, Abe. I just pitch us to other aquatic themed podcasts. We need to go on Jeff's podcast for Big Shark. We need to go on Jay's podcast for Splash.
Splash, I dig it.
All right. Big Shark as well.
Anyway,
yeah. you got to see Big Shark. Oh man,
yeah.
It lives up to the title. It's a big shark. Okay, I'm glad we're recording. This is gold blooper material right here. All right.